welcome everyone, to those of you here in the sanctuary, as those of you who are joining us online. As we begin today, I want to share about an experience that I had with God recently. Some of you may know that for the last few years, I've asked God to give me a special word as I begin the new year, and I've asked God to give me a word of focus, a particular word that might help me, the Holy Spirit might impress upon me to shape my prayer life, to give direction to my discipleship. And so last year, the word was rejoice. And I like that word, rejoice. I tried to make rejoicing a regular part of my discipleship journey. The year before that, it was persevere. Persevere. And when that word kind of bubbled up in my spirit, I began to wonder, Lord, what kind of year is this going to be? And I see now that that word was helpful in keeping me focused that year, perseverance. So this year, the word that the Lord has given me is seek. And the scripture that has come with it is Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And so I've been trying to make seeking God more of my daily experience. Lord, what do you want? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to act in these circumstances? And in the midst of doing that, seeking God, he gave me a word for our church in 2018. Now, I'm always asking God, Lord, give me wisdom as I lead. Give me wisdom as I lead. And in the midst of that, the word harvest bubbled up in my mind. And the impression came to me, that is going to be the word for your church, for Christ Church this year. And, I began to think about that. I began to mull over that word harvest and my thoughts, in my thoughts and my prayers. And then, you know, the great harvest verse came to my mind. You remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, the harvest is what? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And you know, isn't that true today? As I was thinking about harvest, it is plentiful. When I look out into the world, I see that the need is great. People need the Lord and what he can do in their lives more than ever. There is so much brokenness and heartache and addiction and compulsion. People are hurting. And as our culture moves further and further away from God and becomes more secular, the enemy has so many more things that he can use to trip us up. The harvest is plentiful. The need for God's grace is great, but the workers are few. Isn't that still the challenge today, too? You can't have a great harvest unless you have workers who can help bring it in. Workers are key. Workers. That's always been the case. Anytime you have a spiritual harvest, it begins when God begins to raise up passionate workers. You know, as I think about our history, that really was the key to the Methodist revival. Something happened in John and Charles' lives, but it didn't stay there. They had other young friends that they began to talk with and motivate and come together around, and eventually Wesley had an army of young preachers who were committed to going and sharing the gospel in new and innovative ways. Jesus understood it. Workers are key. So he said to his disciples, he actually challenged them. He said, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to what? Send out workers into his harvest field. How do we raise up workers? We pray. We ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. We seek God. We ask him to send out workers. And as I'm thinking about all of this, and as I'm praying about all of this, God drops a BHAG into my mind as well. A BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal. Now, from time to time, I say to my staff, you know, sometimes we just need to think about a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal, something that is a goal that is big, that is daunting, that is stretching, a goal that really can't happen unless God shows up and unless God helps us. And the BHAG that God planted into my mind was this. So I'm thinking, last year we had 174 first-time visitors, first-time guests who came. And I celebrate that. That is wonderful. The year before we had 164, so we had an increase. But there have been some years where we've had around 200 or just over 200. And the BHAG that came into my mind was, God said, what would it mean for the harvest if there were 300 first-time guests who came to our church? And as I thought about that for a moment, I thought, well, you know, for one thing, I mean, 300 people would mean that that would be more Christ-impacted people than we've seen before. 300 would be more Christ-changed people, and that got me excited. And then I thought, you know, 300 guests would also mean more vitality for all of our ministries, because new guests, more transformed lives, creates more energy and more excitement for everybody. And so as I was intrigued, as I was getting excited about that, I began to ask the question, but wait a minute, I mean, how do we do that, God? I mean, how could it happen? And the thought that came, you know, this happens in a matter of really just a few minutes. But in a matter of those minutes, God says, you're going to need my power, and you're going to need all of everyone else's help. It's going to take all of us, in fact, stepping up in our own prayer and action. Here's one way to think about it. You know, last year, if we were at 174, just short of 200, with 200 people, that's about 4 guests a week. So how are we going to get to 300? If that were to happen, it would mean 6 guests a week. That is a stretch, but at the same time, it's not unimaginable. What would need to happen for us to reach 300 new guests in this new year? And that's where we all come in. That's where we all come in. Who do you know who needs God? Who do you know? Begin praying for them. Who do you know who is God is going to bring your way? You know, I know that for me, there are going to be new people that God is going to bring my way that I'm going to have an opportunity with this year that I haven't even met yet. But I can begin to pray for them. I can begin to look forward to that. And then I would say, in addition to those things, you can do as well. Who do I know? Who might I'm going to meet? You can begin praying with me for the harvest. Join me in praying for the harvest. And who is it that God, the people that God can use to draw others in? It's going to be workers. It's always about workers. Well, God may be calling you as he's calling me. It may be someone else. You know, sometimes we pray and others are the ones whom God uses for the harvest. And then ask God to give you boldness. We can all ask God for boldness in our prayers as well as in our openness to invite. God is doing something great at Christ Church. Let me ask this. Are you proud of what's happening in the life of our church? I come to worship every Sunday. I walk away and I say, man, Lord, I am excited about what you're doing. And I hope you feel that too. I hope you experience that. I'm convinced there just aren't enough people who know about what God is doing in us and through us in the life of our church. So who do you know who needs to hear more about it? The word that I'm thinking about for this year is harvest. Harvest. So interestingly, as we launch this new series entitled Encounter Today, we're looking at the lives of people who are changed, who are impacted by their encounter with Jesus, and we're looking at a person who became very interested in the harvest himself. His name was Andrew, and Andrew was seeking God. We read in John's gospel that Andrew initially was a follower of John the Baptist. John, remember, had come crying out in the wilderness. Isaiah had prophesied about it. Get ready. Get ready for the coming of the Lord. Make straight paths. Clean up your lives. God's getting ready to do a new thing. And Andrew had been intrigued. And so he had been hanging out with John the Baptist. He was an everyday guy. He was a fisherman by trade, a self-employed businessman. But he was also seeking God. And he was trying to hear further about what God was doing and God's purposes and plans. And then one day, something surprising happened. One day, John the Baptist looked up and he saw Jesus. And we read in John 1:36, when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, look, the Lamb of God." Now earlier, John had described Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And what do those words mean? We know now what those words mean. Jesus would offer himself up as a lamb for your sins and mine. But verse 37, the disciples, they didn't understand all of that, but simply we read, when the two disciples heard him say this, "Look, the Lamb of God," they followed Jesus. They followed Jesus. And not long after that, Andrew had an encounter. Andrew was seeking God. He wanted to be involved in whatever God was doing in the world. And so he started following after Jesus, wondering who Jesus might be. And Jesus said in John 1:39, "Come, and you will see." So they went and they saw where he was staying and they spent the day with him. Now, wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall that day when those guys were having some time with Jesus? We don't know exactly what happened, but afterwards, Andrew's life was never the same. Spending time, some hours with Jesus impacted him, changed him. So here's a question that burns in my soul. Has that been part of your story? Have you too been changed by Jesus? That question burns in my soul because I have seen so many people. I've seen that it's happened for them, and I want that really for everybody. Jesus can encourage the lonely. He can free the captives. He can heal those who are brokenhearted. He can lift up the downtrodden. Jesus has power to change us as we trust him. He brings hope to the hopeless. He can bring peace to the troubled. He brings grace to the outcasts and mercy to sinners. And I'm so grateful about that because at different times in my life, I've been all of those. He comforts us when we are hurting. He calms us when we are afraid. He forgives us when we need forgiving. He loves us all the same. There is no one like him. And I want everyone who needs him to get to know him, to have a personal encounter. It happened to Andrew. He spent some time getting to know Jesus, hanging out with him, just being in his presence. And whatever Jesus did and said in those moments, it changed his life. And that could happen to you, to me, to other people too. After that brief encounter with Jesus, Andrew was in. He was seeking God, and his seeking led him to a life-changing encounter with Jesus. And I hope that we can help other people find that same experience. Well, so from then on, Andrew couldn't keep Jesus to himself. He was compelled to share with others about the experience he had had. He became one of those workers in the harvest that Jesus had been looking for. Hello? So now, as far as we know, Andrew performed no mighty deeds. He didn't preach any big sermons. He didn't do anything extraordinary that would classify as outstanding. He just worked in the harvest field. And the thing we see about Andrew is he found ways to tell other people about Jesus. To Andrew, all that really mattered was being with the Lord, serving him as he could, and bringing others to Jesus. So how did he do it? How did he do that? Well, first of all, he brought his brother. After John the Baptist's encouragement and his own personal encounter with, with Jesus, we read this in John 1:41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Now, I suppose at that moment, God in heaven was smiling, because nothing pleases God more than to see us helping and serving one another, our sisters and brothers, in unselfish and sacrificial and self-giving ways. Andrew found Christ, and immediately he ran to get his brother. This is a beautiful moment in the scripture. He brought his brother into the presence of the Lord. It's a natural thing to want to reach out to our family members with the good news about Jesus. We want to see our loved ones have the same experience of faith that we have. Andrew's simple, thoughtful act of sharing with his brother is a reminder to us that we are not isolated. We are not isolated individuals just sitting alone. No, we are family. And life is better when we act like the family that God intends us to be, loving each other and supporting each other, helping each other, respecting each other, treasuring each other. Like Andrew, bringing others into the presence of Christ. What happens when our family members aren't interested? Well, that's a whole other sermon. That's a whole another thing. But we know that it's a reality we have to deal with as Christ followers. I realize that there are lots of hurting parents and hurting families today. Well, there was another time Andrew brought someone to Jesus. Andrew brought a child. One day Jesus was on the mountain. He was teaching a huge throng of people and he realized that the people were hungry. And immediately the disciples said, "Lord, send them away. Help them to fend for themselves. Have them fend for themselves." And that's what everybody said except Andrew. So we read another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among many?" Well, we know the rest of the story. In the hands of Jesus, a little food from a little boy became enough to feed the whole crowd. Andrew's acts remind us dramatically of how important children are and their resources are to God and His church. Andrew's act shows us how crucial it is in our words and our deeds to bring children into the presence of Jesus. They are so open, children, so receptive. Parents, grandparents, with everything that children face in their lives today, the sooner that they can get to know Jesus, the better. I plead with all of us that we would pour our hearts into the task of introducing children to Jesus and bringing them here so that we can help them as well. Through worship and Sunday school, our after-school club and youth activities, Upward Basketball and Cheer, art camp, basketball camp, we're telling them the stories of Jesus. We're introducing them to the power of the Scriptures. We're teaching them to pray. We're leading them to understand that there are some things that are right, some things that aren't. But even more, by letting them see you loving Christ and serving in ministry and living your faith every day with heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's how we help children come into the presence of Jesus. Andrew's example shows us that bringing children to Jesus is vital. So Tanya Erickson, our children's director, she has a dream to start a van ministry to go pick up some of the children who come to our Wednesday after school program. They live here in the area. Their parents are thrilled what's happening on Wednesday. She'd like to pick them up on Sunday. And we think that their parents would probably say, "That'd be great. But we've got a van. We just need a few drivers who would be willing to do that." Is that something God might be calling you to do to help us to bring in the harvest? Well, finally, Andrew brought his brother, he brought a child, he brought other seekers to Jesus. Andrew was a person who was not afraid to bring other people into the presence of Christ, even people who were very different from him. So the story is told of, you know, a man who was stumbling through the woods. He was totally drunk when he came upon a preacher baptizing folks in the river. And he started to walk into the river. He bumped into the preacher. The preacher turned around, and though he was almost overcome by the smell of the alcohol, he asked the man, "Are you ready to find Jesus?" And the inebriated man answered, "Yes, I am." And the preacher grabbed the man, and he dunked him in the water. And then he pulled him up, and he asked him, "Brother, have you found Jesus?" And the man replied, "No, I haven't found Jesus." And the preacher, a little bit shocked at the answer, dunked him in the water again. And then for a little longer, and he pulled him back up, and he says, "Brother, have you found Jesus?" And the intoxicated man again said, "No, I haven't found Jesus." But this time, by this time, the preacher, he was at his wit's end. He submerged the man one more time, this time holding him down for, about 30 seconds until he's the man's kicking with his arms, his legs, and then he pulls him up, and the preacher asks him again, "For the love of God, man, have you found Jesus?" And the man, he wiped his eyes, and he caught his breath, and he finally said to the preacher, he said, "Preacher, are you sure this is where he fell in?" There are always going to be people who might be looking at things a little differently than us, but even they are interested in finding Jesus. So in John's gospel, there are some Greek people, persons not of Jewish background, who had nonetheless come to Jerusalem to worship. They were God-fearers. People attracted to Judaism because of its monotheism, its morality, but they were not ready to adopt Jewish customs. They were different. They didn't wear the right clothes. They didn't eat the right foods. They didn't speak the right language. They were completely different from most of the other people in Jerusalem, but they had heard about Jesus. Somehow they had heard about his ministry, his message. They were intrigued, and they said, "We want to somehow meet him." So we read in John 12:19, "Now there were some Greeks among those who went to worship at the feast." Verse 20, "They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went to tell" who? Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Andrew was not afraid to introduce people different from himself to Jesus. It takes a special person to do that. Not everyone is comfortable around those who are different from we are. Who are the people that different from you, but who still need the Lord? Does God love them? Does God want to reach them? How's it going to happen? How does God reach folks who are different from you and me? He needs people like Andrew. People who will reach out with love and compassion. You see, one day, Andrew, he was an ordinary guy, but he has a personal encounter with Jesus. And before long, he had been changed. He was now working in the great harvest field. And that's what happens when we start hanging around with Jesus. We start trying to follow him. First, he brought his brother, then a child, and then even people different from him into the presence of Christ. That is harvest stuff, my friends. That's what being a worker in God's great harvest field is all about. That's who Andrew was, and that's what God wants of you and me. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, "The harvest, it's plentiful, it's ripe, it's ready, but the workers are few." The workers are few. "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, would you send out workers into this harvest field?" I believe this year, this time, this season of our life together represents a great opportunity. I don't know what God wants to do, but I sense there is bubbling up for us a great spiritual harvest. The harvest is out there. It is plentiful. The key is workers who will go into the field. Andrew said, "I will be a worker." He brought other people to Jesus. Let me ask you this question. Will you join me and be a worker in the harvest field? Will you be a person who looks for ways to bring people to Jesus? Family members, children and youth, people different from you and me, even people you haven't yet met, let us lift up our eyes and see the harvest in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious Master, Almighty Creator, loving Lord, I thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for the example of Andrew. He was an everyday guy who one day had a close personal encounter with Jesus. And after that, everything was different. He had new purpose. He had a new mission. He went out into the harvest field and he simply brought other people to Jesus. Lord, give us that mission today. If that's what you are wanting to have happen in your own heart today, I would ask you to pray, Lord, I too want that encounter with you. I too want your friendship and your transforming power, your love, and I too want to be a worker in the harvest field. If that's you today, if you want to be a worker in the harvest field, would you lift your hands? Would you lift your hands? Anybody wants to be a worker in the harvest field with me this year? Lift your hands. Anybody? See some hands going up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for people who are willing. Lord, I pray that you will take our signs of faith and help us, yes, to act by your Spirit according to your plan. Workers in the harvest. In Jesus' name we've prayed. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen. Amen.